We're back, everybody. I'm Carly Knight.
And I'm Sabrina Monet.
And we're super on brand for Procrastination Planet. I had promised to start dropping episodes bi-weekly or, you know, fortnightly, but then I lost track of time. But also, I've been really super busy, so I'm not going to promise when I'm going to drop an episode. I have to just kind of admit that this is more of a hobby podcast rather than I'm going to get all famous and shit over it.
I still may.
And I figure if I procrastinate on dropping episodes, I'm staying on brand.
Yes.
There we go. Because I have other stuff that I'm kind of trying to manifest and whatnot. So
exciting.
Yeah. So today's episode, we're talking about quarantine brain, how hard it is to kind of do our reading and writing in this particular environment, even though in theory, we're supposed to have all the time in the world.
Yeah, we really don't, though.
I know. It's been weird. I mean, theoretically, we have the time, but with all of this isolation, it's just kind of amped up the depression and the kind of feeling trapped.
Gotcha.
So one of the things I thought I would do during quarantine was I was going to finally get through and read War and Peace and take my notes and
kind of geek out.
I went to the first Napa Valley Writers Conference that I was assisting at. Yiyan Lee, okay, the author, was there, and she is a total War and Peace geek. I mean, she has her annotated version of it. And she has all her notes, and oh my God, I would kill for that version. She needs to like edit and publish a version of that with her annotations.
Oh, wow.
But her thing is, every year she'll settle in and read War and Peace. And theoretically, you should be able to do that 10 minutes every morning because the chapters are really short.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't picked it up, so I know what it looks like on the cover, but that's about as far as it goes.
And you know, it's a big, huge novel.
Yes.
So it's one of the intentions that I should be setting, but I have not.
Got you.
So that was my intention for quarantine, that I was going to finally pick up the copy of War and Peace that a friend of mine lent me and get around to reading it. And I never got around to doing that because other stuff got in the way. And then I saw this article. I don't know if it was on Medium or what platform, but it said, no, you are not going to read War and Peace during quarantine.
It's a sign.
I feel very seen and I feel very attacked.
Wasn't Leo Tolstoy in love with his sister?
Oh, no, I don't know about that. I'm going to have to look that up.
Strong possibility I just made that up. So
okay, don't at me. Okay, don't nobody from Tolstoy's estate come at us. This is just hearsay and speculation, and we use the word allegedly a lot.
Allegedly in love with his sister.
He was allegedly in love with his sister.
Oh, goodness. Have you read anything else besides trying to pick up War and Peace?
Let's see. What was on my list? Okay, I finally got around to reading A Season in Purgatory from Dominic Dunn.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's really good. It was based on, very loosely based on the Kennedys. And he kind of condensed the family tree and the timeline. And
like the with bodies and the trunks and the, okay.
Mm-hmm. So basically, with the Kennedys, we started with Joe. And then Joe beget a whole bunch of Kennedys. There's a whole bunch of Kennedys. Then there's JFK and then Ted Kennedy and then
Robert.
There's Robert. And then the book itself was based on the Martha Moxley case.
Is that the Chappie Kiddick?
No, that's a whole different case.
Oh, okay.
But he kind of accelerates the timeline. So I forget where Michael Skakel is in the whole Kennedy line.
Okay.
But he wouldn't have been the son of Joe Kennedy or anything like that. So Dunn kind of takes some fictional liberties with that. He just makes it so that the family is like second generation wealthy rather than a dynasty for a few generations now.
Gotcha.
But there's some kind of like abstract reference to the whole Chappaquiddick incident with Ted Kennedy.
Okay.
But it's a family plagued with scandal, and it's still a family plagued with scandal in the book. So he takes a few like fictional artistic liberties with it.
Gotcha. I have to ask, between second generation wealthy and dynasty wealthy, which one has the yacht rock?
What do you mean by which one would have the yacht rock?
Like, I'm trying to picture families when you say it. So when we picture Kennedys, is that they just came up with Joe. And I guess if you're like dynasty wealthy, you're like the Bouviers.
Yeah, I think it'd be more like the Bouviers.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I don't know which one of them rocks out on a yacht, but whichever one does, that's my group that I want to hang out with.
Yeah, so I think by the 80s, the Kennedys were more like more of a dynasty. But in the book, they're still more new money.
Ah, okay.
So the fictional analog would be more of a new money sort of family.
They were bootleggers, right? Like it was whiskey. Yeah. That's how they made their money.
Mm-hmm.
That's honest. That's awesome. I don't remember drinking Kennedy whiskey. So I can't. Okay.
I don't think it would have slapped his label on it since he was bootlegging, but you know.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I bet you it tasted good, though.
Or it tasted like trash. That's why they had to up their cocktail game back in the day. Because you had to disguise the taste of bad liquor.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you're really super wealthy, you could afford to get some better stuff smuggled in, like from Canada or whatever. But a lot of times they would just make some really horrible stuff. And then you had all those cocktail ingredients that would hopefully disguise the nasty flavor.
Oh, goodness. Have you read any other books besides the Dominic Dunn one?
Okay, so I've read that. I've read The Accidental Tourist. I've been doing mostly academic reading, which is, oh God, it's mind numbing. Okay, so I read The Accidental Tourist. I started getting into the Agatha Raisin mysteries, kind of my little quickie guilty pleasure read.
Okay.
It's kind of in the cozy mystery vein.
Yes.
I think those books started in like the late 80s, early 90s. Started with Agatha Raisin and The Quiche of Death.
I saw a TV series of Agatha Raisin. Those are fun.
Yeah. Now I had to figure out how to stream a whole another channel and then I can start watching those. But like Agatha Raisin in the TV series, I think they made her likable. But in the books, she's not likable at all. Yet somehow you root for her because she's smart and she's scrappy. And the people she's up against are even worse.
I've read a few books. I've read more than I've written. I'll say that. So what I recently finished was The Guest List by Lucy Foley. Think about the story, Then There Were None, just sort of a group of people going to an island, and then there's a wedding, everyone gets there with secrets, and then someone dies. But something about Lucy Foley's story that I noticed that I haven't read in much contemporary fiction. So there's sort of like a glitzy upscale people. The wife is in marketing, and the husband is on a reality TV show. So they're like that. They're like USA Network money. You can't, they don't have HBO or CBS money, but they do better than your average 9-to-5ers.
Okay.
And so as they're getting there, their guests are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they rented out this castle for 48 hours for the weekend. Conversations like that. Like if I had to guess, well, the age of the people in the story are mid-30s. I don't know how old the writer is, but there was a lot of talk about money in it. And there was a lot of talk about fake money. Mm-hmm. So you had the bridesmaids go, oh my gosh, that's beautiful. How everything just looks perfect. But when it got to their own point of view, they're like, oh, something's going on. She made trades or no one can afford this, blah, blah, blah. It was really rather catty. So I don't know if it's the writer or the young millennials coming up who are calling bullshit on all of these like traditional stuff. But there was a lot of that in the novel and I thought that was funny. And then of course, murder mystery. So that was Lucy Foley.
Yeah, kind of that backlash against the five-figure wedding.
Yes.
That was always a trend, is having that wedding that could, I don't know, the money you spend on that wedding, you can make a down payment on a house.
Exactly. So there was that in the book. I read The Poison Thread, and I think it was you who actually, were you the one that recommended it? I borrowed that off of someone's Goodreads list.
I don't recall. I mean, I could have made the recommendation in a carb fog, but I don't recall recommending that.
So it's Laura Purcell. Did you ever watch the movie Original Sin with Angelina Jolie?
No.
Okay. So, okay, I can't use that as a reference. Basically, someone is on death row. It's a woman. It's the 1800s. They're going to hang her. But there is a young woman who's studying psychology who believes that the size of a person's skull determines their inherent nature.
If they're good or evil. Phrenology.
Yes. Of course you would know the fucking fancy word.
Of course I would know the fucking fancy word. I'm a fancy gal.
And so as it goes on, the little scientist girl, she's like, you know what? I don't think this has anything to do with the size of her skull. I think this could just have to do with the circumstances of her life. So this girl that's on death row, her dad died. Her mom can't afford where they're living. So the mom ends up in debtor's prison. Mm. And she gets hired by a seamstress who tells her that if she works X amount of hours, basically slave labor, that mm-hmm. she'll get her mom out of debtor's prison. So she works 3 years nonstop just to find out that her mom died in debtor's prison 2.5 years earlier, 6 months oh. into her contract, and she was never told. But the funny thing, and I thought about you when I was reading this, someone ends up dying and she confesses to the murder. And when they ask her how she did it, she said it was her sewing. So I don't really get the physics of it, but this is what, the anatomy of it. She was sad. So when she was taught how to do boning for the corsets, she cried every time she did it because she spent hours putting in that boning into the dresses. And one of the girls was particularly mean to her. So what she did is she actually took in the boning on the dress by about 1.5 inches. And the girl ended up dying of flu or something like that. She confesses to the murder and says it was her fault because she purposely took 1.5 inches off of the corset. And that's why the girl's organs failed. Can you kill someone through corset?
I guess if you tight lace and you're not careful with your technique, you can kind of crush your organs over time.
But in the poison thread, it's pretty much, what do you believe? Do you believe that she could actually have done that? Or do you believe that it was just circumstance? So there was
maybe
that.
She felt guilty about the death and she felt like she was the person who caused it?
Yes. So there's a lot of stuff, but basically at the end, everyone says exactly what I say. What's phrenology?
Oh, phrenology so. Is, well, phrenology is...
she didn't prove it.
Oh.
Yeah, like she didn't prove it. She basically just said, oh, wow, I'm so glad I wasn't born poor. And then, you know, there's systemic issues here.
Yeah, lots to unpack.
Yeah, but a pretty good one. And the only one I have to mention, because he's actually a screenwriter, Scott Thomas, he wrote Kill Creek. Hmm. And that one stuck with me for a while. Essentially, someone built a house, a beautiful, large house. But then people who are jealous of them came and killed the husband and wife who lived in the house. And then everyone who owned the house after that, horrible things would happen to them. So it was a story of, can land be cursed once blood's been spilt on it? Which is kind of cool to think about. But at the end of the day, doesn't that make every square foot on planet Earth cursed in a way?
Just about, which is why you smoke cleanse your area.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so, that's why. I mean, don't use white sage because it's endangered because all the Karens decided to make it trendy. But you can smoke cleanse. You can smoke cleanse with common sage.
Gotcha.
You can smoke cleanse with common sage. You could do it with rosemary. They did that in medieval Europe. They used rosemary and thyme. They would smoke cleanse. Like the medical tents and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd have to get the bad humors out of there, spirits out of there. So they would do that.
Oh, and then one last one that I have to put out there, and everyone has to read it because it's shocking. Baby Teeth by Zoji Stage. That was batshit crazy.
Oh, no. What is that about? Baby. Okay. I'm going to just say it, like, baby and toddler teeth are just creepy to look at. I hate when I see baby pictures with like their little creepy baby teeth. I don't know why little kid teeth freak me out, but they freak me out.
It's basically a psychological thriller. And essentially, when you're reading through it, you don't know whether the little kid is evil incarnate or if the mother has psychological issues, or all of the above.
Oh.
So essentially, she is a woman who was forced to have a child when she just wanted it to be her and her husband. But, you know, she was like, just one child, that's it. As the girl grows up, she becomes very attached to her father, but she hates the mom. And I don't mean like throwing tantrums. I mean, this girl is 6 years old. Going on 7, and everyone's in the room. They're like, she's such an angel. And then when everyone walks out of the room, the little 6-year-old will turn to the mom and be like, go fuck yourself.
Oh my God. Okay. I would have like a postpartum abortion.
But the thing is, no one else caught it. So she didn't know if she was making it up in her head because she didn't have natural maternal instinct, or if the little girl was crazy and doing it to her on purpose.
Oh my God. That kind of reminds me of that case where this couple, they send back... they send back a little girl that they adopted because they changed their mind. But what they said is that she was really a little person who has grown, kind of like the orphanage.
Oh, wow.
I think there was another article that was kind of poking holes in it. I'm going to have to link to this because it, God, when did it happen? It happened like maybe last year or year before that. It was a very batshit crazy case.
Wow. Do you think the girl was like a 20-year-old?
Yeah, she was like supposedly a Russian 20-year-old who is masquerading as
a 10-year-old.
Yeah, something like that.
That is trippy.
I'm going to have to link to that and then link to the books we've been reading. Oh gosh, what else have I been reading? Let's see. So yeah, that Agatha Raisin, The Potted Gardener. I'm just going to say that I don't know if it's the context of the time. There are some problematic ways of describing one of the characters who is Asian.
Okay.
So I will just leave it at that. I think 90s we stopped saying Oriental and we started saying Asian instead. But 1993 book, she's still describing the guy as Oriental. So
I heard that word. Yeah, I actually heard it towards like the late 90s, early 2000s. And this is when I moved to Nevada. But by the mid 2000s, it was completely, hey, what's going on here?
Yeah. I mean, like saying Oriental, it's not the equivalent of saying the N word, but it's just very old fashioned.
Yes.
Not the same as using a slur, but it's not really, it's still not okay.
Yeah. And also it's grouping a lot of people together that are actually from very diverse backgrounds, mm-hmm. which I think is one of the reasons why we don't say it.
Yeah. I think I've heard it's Oriental is for objects. Asian is for people.
For people.
Yeah. And I know some people are just, let's face it, some white people get really butthurt about having to change the nomenclature. They're like, well, they're from the Orient. And it's like, no. They're from Asia. The Orient was, guess what? A colonial term. So if you're saying Oriental, you're celebrating colonialism. So go fuck yourself.
Oh, goodness.
So I'm just going to say, with Agatha Raisin books, they are quite amusing, but you have to take them as an artifact of the time.
Yes.
So, FYI.
Gotcha.
So I've been trying to get some writing done in between, you know, all of my coursework and whatnot.
Okay.
Oh, God. I've been really busy with all of that. So I was finally able to get my substitute teaching permit.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm going to get more classroom management experience. So it's going to be fun trying to sub for anyone who is calling off sick on a Zoom day.
Because you'll just be on Zoom, right? You don't physically have to go in.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about anyone, I don't know, throwing spit wads at me or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's kind of the beauty of a distance learning environment. You don't have to worry about unwanted physical interaction.
Yeah.
However, trying to get to know people more in an online environment, it's weird.
Gotcha.
I know there's the whole meme about how quarantine is heaven for the introverts.
It really is. I've been having a great time.
I'm an ambivert. So like the introverted side of me is like, okay, I don't have to commute and that's cool. But then the extroverted side of me is like, oh God, I'm going stir crazy. Like it's hard to pick up on people's like facial cues if I'm having a Zoom conversation, especially if it's a group setting. Because, you know, when you're interacting with people, you want to look at their face.
Yeah.
But when you do that, you're not making eye contact with the person. So you have to look at the camera instead of their face. And if they're doing the same thing, you can't really see if they're really talking to you or if they're really listening to you or if your joke lands.
Got you. You need affirmation when you're talking.
Yeah.
I just like to hear myself.
Well, there we go. So you're saying it's a narcissistic paradise.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But here's
so maybe I'm not such a narcissist?
No, not too much. But this is the thing. The rules that we have to live by Mm-hmm. It's like, you have to stay 6 feet apart from people. Don't let people touch you. Wear something over your face when other people are talking to you so they don't get their stuff around you. Weren't we always living like that?
Some of us germphobes, yes.
Writing for me, okay, writer Twitter. You know Twitter writers? Mm-hmm. Everyone, yes, all those groups. I've been reading everything. It's encouraging. I volunteer to read other people's work. As far as my own, I haven't done any editing, but what I did do was send out a query to write for a television review on a website. Mm-hmm. And I actually got to the editor and he gave me a pitch. And I wasn't prepared for that because I thought I was going to have to go through more hoops and channels before actually talking to him directly. And he wrote back and he said, okay, great. I liked your resume. I like the samples you sent in. Go ahead and turn around. I think he gave me like a day or two. He goes, go ahead and turn around a 500-word essay on any topic on television right now and let me read it.
Oh, nice.
Holy shit. So I have all these ideas. I love writing on my Medium column, but I wanted something new. And I sort of second-guessed myself. So when I turned the essay in, he got back to me a few days later and he said, great writing, article's clean. It's just not the right work. It's just not the right voice for this particular website. And so the old Sabrina 10 years ago would have been extremely upset, would have been sad, wouldn't have written another word. I actually emailed him back and I said, okay, does this disqualify me for ever trying out for positions or writing jobs with your company again? And he goes, oh, no, no, no. Just for this particular article, I don't want. Feel free to send in any others you write up that you think I might be interested in. So okay. That's an avenue.
But so what kind of voice is he looking for? That might be a thing to explore.
Yes. So I thought I wrote it in the vein that they needed, but what they wanted was more. Okay. So it was like a comic book website and okay. They wanted to review. They do a lot of urban and sci-fi TV review. So I wrote it up, but I wrote it more as a news story, whereas what they wanted was more tie it to the comics, tie it to what fans would read in first person. So okay. When I looked at the voices of the other writers and a few of them I follow on Twitter, I saw his point. They write it more from like a fanboy point of view.
Okay.
And I was strictly thinking he wanted like a straight review of the show, of the people and that are working on the show and in front of the camera type of thing. So, but I realized it was fun writing it. And I love going off on TV in my own way, but I prefer my own writing, my own creative writing, where I'm talking about the things I want rather than reporting on something because of a deadline and what they're telling me to. So yeah. That's something to explore.
But if you're getting paid for that deadline, then...
I know. They have really good... You know, the pricing has gone up for articles, pay for articles.
Oh, nice. I'm going to have to look into that.
Yes, I know people who do it. Here's the thing that's the problem with me. I can pitch. I've gotten past that point. I'm great at that. I can get my idea picked up. But when I turn around for deadline and you tell me specifically how you want that article written, that's when I clamber up. I'm like, oh shit, you want this, but you want it written like this? Huh?
And you want it by this?
Oh, exactly. Then I turn into a diva. Then I'm Mariah Carey sitting in a chair. I don't walk, you know?
Oh, wow. That's hilarious. Oh, double Aquarius.
Yes, double Aquarius. So exhausting.
You're like, what's a deadline?
Exactly. And you know what? He gave me plenty of time. And I just remember thinking, oh, I don't even want to touch this.
That's me. It's like, I function really well with the deadline. However, if you give me a deadline that's too far off, I'm going to think, oh, I got all the time in the world and then just fuck around until the last minute.
Exactly.
But at that last minute, though, oh, I am putting it down.
How are your stories coming along? The manuscripts you were working on?
I'm still working on my hard-boiled fiction. Not as much as I would like to, just because I've been busy with all my other obligations. But I've been kind of chipping away a little at a time. I'm on chapter 12 now.
Very cool.
Yeah, I finally have some kind of outline for the plot. My Brentwood group, we started having a plotting workshop And it forced me to actually get in and figure out exactly the roadmap where I want my story to go.
Okay.
It's not a super detailed outline where I have everything, you know, because if you get too detailed with your outline, you may as well just write it.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see. But I at least have some plot elements where they need to be and a little bit more of a breakdown of how some of those things are going to happen. I mean, I still have a few spots where I'm struggling to figure out how a few different plot elements happen, but I at least have a more solid roadmap of where I'm going to go.
That's beautiful.
I do have to do a little bit more character work on the love interest.
Love interest. I'm trying to think about your story. Yeah. Is it the story, the 1920s?
No, this one is my hard-boiled one. I don't know if I shared that one with you.
Are you working on a story you have not shared with me?
Yes, I am. I should start sharing with you so that you can have a look. Yes. I'm book cheating. Is it book cheating? Manuscript cheating? I don't know what the cheating is called.
Cheating is cheating.
Okay. It doesn't matter what we call it. I'm still cheating on you, Sabrina. Sorry. Yes.
Oh, I have to tell you this story because I thought of you when I heard it.
Oh, no.
So it happened live on Twitter. So there are some people who are already established writers, and then there are other people like me who are on there just reading the advice and seeing what are happening with working writers. So someone came on excited, and they said that a production company had read their screenplay, and they wanted to go into production, but they wanted to run it by one of the writers who was established. And the established writer said, "I'm here. What's your question?" And then she wrote, I've been offered money. They wanted outlined, and there was other stuff they were asking her for along with the completed script. And she was going to get a $500 retainer. And they wanted to break up the payment to her, not the $500 that she was going to get right off the bat, but the payment to her for the other stuff during production. And so everyone was like, you know, I don't know. Wait for someone who actually knows what they're talking about. So this guy came on and said, "You sound like someone who's not represented, correct?" And she says, "Yes." He goes, "Go back to that producer and tell them that you want union minimums and that's what you're looking at per terms and conditions of WGA. He said, "Just say it like that to them." So she went back and she came back the next day to report that she said union and WGA to the producer. And the next thing you know, she was offered $65,000 for her script.
Whoa.
With an actual contract and area of everything in it, just because she said the words union and WGA.
I'm going to keep that one in mind. Not that I'm ever going to do screenwriting, because it's even harder to break into than regular ass novel writing.
Are there unions for novelists?
Nothing like that, but you still are better off if you get a good agent.
Got you. Freaking cheats, right?
Production companies will take advantage of anybody.
Oh, goodness.
It's a shady, shady world when it comes to screenwriting.
So our peer, I think you've heard about this. One of our peer podcasters has left the state of California, Joe Rogan, and is now set up in Austin, Texas. And of course, Spotify offered him $100 million to sign exclusively with them for his podcast. I think he jumped ship so he didn't have to pay California taxes. And it looks like all of Hollywood is jumping ship from California. Do you say yay or do you say, why won't these fuckers stick around and pay their fair share?
Why won't these fuckers stick around and pay their fair share?
Yeah.
Actually, people aren't, they're not. A lot of companies aren't jumping like you'd think they were, because they stay because, you know, temperate weather and all that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Because other places, I mean, yeah, we have wildfires and sometimes we have earthquakes. But like in other places, you have to put up with blizzards. You have to put up with other extremes in weather. There's hurricanes. There's tornadoes. There's like all kinds of fuck shit, which is why people like to go in California.
Yes, exactly.
I don't have a problem paying taxes. I just don't want my taxes going to something stupid like subsidizing a $1 billion corporation who isn't paying their fair share.
Tesla.
Right? I mean, I don't mind my taxes going to paying for schools.
Or creating parking lots in Fremont.
Oh, Lord. Oh, no. Healthcare, education, community college.
Exactly.
I would like a society that is educated, quite frankly.
Yes.
And honestly, I think we could have gotten through this quarantine in 2 months if we just sucked it up and did universal basic income for 2 months, because we can afford that.
Yeah.
We can actually afford that, except we don't want to tax. We don't want to tax billionaires for God knows what reason.
I know. I don't get it.
The thing is, the money doesn't trickle down. They hoard their money.
Yeah.
And it's like these same people who long for the good old days of the 1950s, you know, where women and minorities, quote unquote, knew their place. They want that part of the 50s, but they don't want the taxes part of the 50s.
And the taxes.
The wealthy, they got taxed. I think anything over 200,000 or something like that, then you got taxed.
Okay.
Like when people talk about, oh, 90% of your income is getting taxed. It's not 90% of your total income. It's 90% of income over a particular amount. So it's not exactly like millionaires are living in cardboard boxes because they got taxed to death.
Wouldn't that be funny?
And nobody needs to be a fucking billionaire.
Except Bezos. For me.
Yeah, it's just, it's hoarding.
Yeah.
I mean, people who are like voting against their own economic self-interest, a lot of it is because there's definitely racial implications.
Gotcha.
Because it's like this fear that, oh my God, black and brown people might get some of this money too. Oh no, I'm going to cut off my nose to spite my face. I'm going to go poor just so other people that I don't like because of their melanin will go without.
Oh.
There's like a racial thing. And then I think some of it is delusion. Like some of these people think that they're just temporarily embarrassed millionaires. I think it was Jack London who was saying that. It was either Jack London, John Steinbeck, or Sinclair Lewis. One of those three.
Gotcha.
One of those three radical male writers from back in the day. So if we had been taxing billionaires and billion-dollar corporations, we could have had a universal basic income so we wouldn't have to worry about reopening the country prematurely. And that way, we'd wait this quarantine out, and then boom, we'd be back in business. I mean, that's what happened in 1918 during the Spanish flu epidemic. I almost said academic. That's not a word. I'll make it a word at some point, but
yes.
Today's not that day. But they quarantined the fuck out.
Yeah.
And eventually, I mean, there was a resurge in the summer afterwards because they broke quarantine too soon, but then they waited quarantine out and boom.
How long? The Spanish flu lasted a while though, right?
Mm-hmm. Get out there and vote, people. Seriously.
Oh, I know.
Oh,
and
my
rest
God.
In peace, RBG.
Oh, my God. I am. Okay. Since Turtlehead McConnell made it so Obama couldn't put in a Supreme Court justice during his own fucking term.
Yeah.
We need to do the same to Agent Orange.
He should not 45 days.
To,
yeah.
He should not be allowed to put in another Supreme Court justice.
Oh, that's crazy.
Quid pro quo, motherfucker.
Yeah. So not to get political.
Yeah. You were going to say something?
Oh, no. I was just being funny.
Okay.
I have absolutely nothing to add, except that, do you believe Dr. Fauci that we might be living like this till 2022?
Well, if people are still fucking idiots, yeah.
Gotcha.
If people wise up and wash up and quit gathering in like large groups and mask the fuck up.
Yeah.
We'll be better.
This would end. Do you think this stress is adding to your not being able to read as much or write as much as you want?
Yeah. Because if I get into a really bad depression or anxiety mode, I shut down.
Gotcha.
And quarantine is not helping with this. So I hate anti-maskers. It just, they piss me off so hard.
I see them about town.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
You're telling me that you don't give a fuck about anyone but your own self. That is what it is. It's sociopathy, plain and simple.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get all ranty and then I'm going to burst a blood vessel and I would rather not do that.
Yeah, don't do that on a Sunday.
So I'm going to have to get you. You'll see all my little notes and everything, but I can send you. I can email you my my novel in progress.
Yes, please do.
So I can, you can tell me what you think. I read a couple of chapters on OzCat Radio.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't been submitting anything to read on the radio lately, so I need to get back to doing that.
We've been like sending. Sounds so cool.
Yeah, we've been sending virtual files.
Awesome.
I kind of want to do something similar as well, and like see if my friends want to read something on various episodes of the show.
That
way we have placeholder stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if we do that, you'd have to edit your own episode before sending it to me because I'm.
You're swamped.
Yeah, I am swamped as far as schedule goes. So that's part of why I haven't been dropping so many episodes.
Yeah.
As I edit that stuff myself, and it's very time consuming.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had the money, I'd just pay someone to do that part for me.
Gotcha.
So if people are willing to edit their own episodes and then send me, you know, like send me the file.
You'd be able to, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, I would say if you want to send me something, make it something that you're not trying to get published in like another magazine or something. Because some magazines, like some literary journals and whatnot, will say don't have your stuff published anywhere else. And they might count audio publishing as publishing.
As publishing. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe something you're not super protective over as far as trying to shop it out anywhere else.
That would be perfect.
If you want to do it for the exposure, as we say, or if you want to do it just because, you know, you want to share stories with people, because this is quarantine and the arts are lovely.
And I have something important to ask you about quarantine.
Okay.
That's completely off topic. Have you noticed that your skin isn't as amazing as it usually is with these masks that we're wearing?
Oh my God, I've been breaking out like a motherfucker.
Yes.
And not just like under the mask stuff, but just in general, because I think the stress of quarantine is terrible.
Can I ask you something? And sure. I think I've never done this before. Well, I tried and it was too strong, but I think my skin might just be at the level that I need this. I think I'm going to start using witch hazel.
Oh, witch hazel is pretty gentle.
Oh, okay. So you don't think it's that stringent?
It's one of the more gentle astringents.
Okay.
I mean, you can try and find something for sensitive skin, like a witch hazel rose water combination.
Okay.
That might work out. I'm jumping away from witch hazel and just going straight to like retinol serums because I'm 44 now. So gotcha. I hit my mid 40s and oh God, that's officially mid 40s. Holy shit.
No, it's so, not. You're fine. Yes.
Because I'm still vain as shit. I haven't reached the point where I don't care how I look. I care very deeply how I look. I've always been obsessed with my appearance.
No worries. What? Please go ahead and suggest for our listeners and me in particular a cleanser that you think is good for COVID right now.
Oh my God. You're asking me a cleanser for COVID. I don't know if this is going to be my... I don't know if this is going to be in my wheelhouse. There's one from Neutrogena. It's a retinol-based face cleanser. It's kind of the base that you use before you do the rest of your retinol routine.
Gotcha.
Honestly, though, probably just something gentle.
Okay.
And you don't need to spend a shit ton of money on cleansers. Just get something that's gentle that's not going to strip your skin.
Okay.
Well, you want to spend your money on what's going to stay longer on your face. That's why you spend your money on your serums and your moisturizers.
Okay.
Yeah, spend your money on that. You can go lower price on cleansers. Just get something gentle like Cetaphil.
And then put the money into the moisturizers and actually put on sunscreen.
Yes, put on sunscreen, spend your money on the serums and the moisturizers.
Cool. I think I asked you all my COVID skin questions, so I feel better.
COVID skincare, yeah.
COVID skincare. Did we just come up with something? That's new, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to make it new. It's new. You haven't heard anything like this before ever. Copyright. Oh,
COVID skincare.
How do we top it? I don't know.
The kind of moisturizer that keeps germs off the face.
Ooh. It's like a face shield without fucking up your hair.
Yes.
Oh, I think we caught up with
There's money here.
we got to think of this. Don't nobody else come up with this, okay? Unless you're going to give us credit and royalty checks.
Oh, goodness.
Like some kind of spray. It would have to be some kind of spray. Like the kind of spray you use when you're sealing in your makeup.
Yes, the mister or something. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Mask up and wash up, people. Seriously. And quit gathering in large numbers.
Do you think you've had it?
I have no idea. I'm going to have to get tested, I know, at some point, especially if we go back to phase two, because Napa County's off the watch list.
Yes, it is. I went to the movies there the other night.
So you probably spread your COVID at the new movie theater, didn't you?
No. Okay. So that's a story I can tell you.
You know what? I probably shouldn't have said Napa County's off the watch list because now we're going to get a bunch of germy ass motherfuckers going into Napa County and reinfecting us.
But, I wore my mask. I really had to see Tenet. You know me with the movies. So every other row is closed off. And once you purchase your tickets, the two seats to either side of you are also closed off.
Okay.
So I ended up actually sitting in the row that actually had two seats, gaps, two seats. So there's only eight in the particular row that I had. What happened was that the couple sitting to the right of me who were three seats away, oh, brother bear, They sat down, they had their masks, but as soon as the lights went down, I guess darkness means COVID goes to sleep, because they took off their masks, started drinking and eating throughout the entire film,
and never
put the masks back on. It's really good. They actually have machines running, but as soon as that popcorn was in my mouth, and actually, me and popcorn, I didn't eat that much. I think I was too nervous. I put that popcorn down. I finished my drink. That mask went on for the remainder of the movie. Everyone else who took their masks off to eat kept their masks off for the remainder of the film.
So you should probably get tested.
Yeah. There was one kid who really wanted to see the movie because he showed up in an oxygen mask with his oxygen tank inside his backpack.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
That is crazy.
Right?
See, that's the thing. Like with restaurants, I know the Black Bear Cafe, they have outdoor seating and all that kind of thing. But then you still have to have your mask off when you're eating. So you're still circulating all of that.
I haven't done the outdoor dining. I'm doing takeout.
I don't want to do that for that reason.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have my mask off.
And here's the thing. You will practice social distancing, but there will still be a family of assholes who don't. And they'll come and they'll usually be seated next to you. And it's just going to fuck up your night.
Yeah, I don't. Ugh. I was at Target because I had to pick up some necessities. Ugh. And then fucking everybody was there. It was still really crowded in the store. It's like, how the fuck is this social distancing?
Oh, Target's the worst. Not worst. I mean, Walmart's even worse. But Target, they have no idea there's a disease. They're like, we're inside Target. Nothing bad can happen here.
I mean, everyone is masked up, thank God. But still, it was just like, ew, don't get close to me.
I can't stand people next to me. It's like my arms flap out. And I'm like, if you're anywhere near my arms, step back.
I don't like being in an aisle with anybody.
Me neither.
And this is pre-COVID too. Going down the aisle and someone is there, I'm like, no, I just want a straight shot down one end of the aisle to the other. I don't want to stop. I don't want to pause unless it's for my own edification.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I think we just genuinely dislike people. And I think it's helped us stay safe in this COVID era.
I think so. Yeah, I don't want to go to a movie theater yet either, because you're going to have people without their masks off. I mean, without their masks on. Plus, you have to take off your mask to eat and drink. And it's like, no, I don't want to do that.
I did it for Tenet because I really needed to see that film. Now that I've seen it, everything else, if it's not at home, it'll maybe be a drive-in movie. But I went to one drive-in movie and it was really sad. Because I got there and I said, is there a way to buy from the concession stand without having to get out of the car? And she looked at me. She goes, I'm so sorry. Our concession stands are closed. Really? You think I'm going to sit here for a fucking double feature with no food? Who does that?
That's why you do cheapskate me and bring your movie purse.
I was going to bring a movie purse, but I did everything but popcorn because I was like, no, they're going to have popcorn. Who doesn't have popcorn at the movies?
They're not going to have popcorn. They're not going to have popcorn, Sabrina, not at the socially distanced drive-in theater.
I'm so depressed. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so my to-do list sends you my work in progress. It's my hard-boiled novel that I've been kind of tinkering away at.
Nice.
And I know at some point I have to do my second draft of my Hollywood story.
Yes, absolutely. I love that story.
Thank you. I have things to send you.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, so if we went a little too off topic, that was quarantine brain talking. I feel like my brain has been melting in quarantine because I haven't been getting the social stimulation I need. And Zoom is no substitute for social interaction. It really isn't.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to scare you. So, of course, I'm at my job and my job deals with the public. Mm-hmm. But we have very strict rules about how you can come in and out of the building. And so we adhere to all of it, 6 feet apart, mask up, don't come near me, all of that stuff. But I have people who visit my work every day, and some of them, it's their first opportunity out of the house. So their natural reaction is to want to stand extremely close to me. So I'll back up, they'll walk towards me. I'll back up. They'll run towards me, kind of like a 3-year-old. To the point,
6 feet apart, please. So let's social distance.
Exactly. And then some of them, you'll see it in their face. They're hurt because, you know, they've known you for a couple of years. And I'm like, this, it's not about you. You're not Josie Grossy. You're not, you don't have cooties. It's literally the law, please. Mm-hmm. And so you have that
Schrodinger's virus.
And something I've run into a few creepers in this COVID. And guess what? Even with the fear of having your entire respiratory system ripped out of your body, they're still creepers. They don't care. It's disgusting.
Well, nice to know there are some constants in the world, I guess.
Oh, gosh.
Creepers still gonna creep.
Yeah, creepers still gonna creep out there.
I would just start coughing.
Oh, I know. Oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. Like allergies during the Rona. And, you know, like with the smoke and everything that's been going on, like my throat has been hurting. And so I'm like, like I had to cough and clear my throat. And I'm like, I promise it's not the Rona.
Does your hypochondria kick in? You're like, wait a minute. And then you reach for like a oximeter to check and make sure you're okay.
Yeah. I always look up, is this symptom a COVID symptom? No. Step away from the internet. Step away from the internet. I can still smell and taste things. I am fine.
Oh, dude.
But yeah, I probably should get tested because I don't want to sound like one of those people, but I had a weird cold like in probably around January.
So did I. It took me out for 3 weeks.
Yeah. So I still had my taste of my sense of taste and smell. But I had one that was just like, it was really hard to kick it.
My coworkers, it went through all of us over a period of 3 weeks, even coming back to some of us. It got so bad with me that I got an ear infection and I lost hearing on my left side for like 2 to 3 months. That seems pretty major to me. But one of my coworkers was so interested to see that he went and had his blood drawn to see if he had the antibodies, and he did not. But I don't think that's conclusive. Like, you could totally have had it.
You still had to get the nose swab to see if you have the antibodies, which, I don't think they're taking the swab all the way up to your brain anymore, which is good, but they're still swabbing out your nostrils, which is not a comfortable situation.
Mm.
So I know at some point I have to do that if I'm going to go back to face-to-face. Because right now it's distance learning for the school district. And I think mid-October they're looking at phase two, which is kind of hybrid. Mm. Like there's going to be some time in the classroom, some time out of the classroom. So I probably should get tested, make sure I don't A, have the Rona, or C, if I had the Rona in the past, which it would mean I have antibodies for it, which means I'm good for like 9 months or something.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But, you know, still mask up because you don't know.
Have you gotten your flu shot for the season?
I need to do that, actually.
I'm going to tell you this because I just got mine done. You can drive through the hospital and get it.
Then that's what I'm going to do. Get my drive-by flu shot.
It's better in the afternoon or early morning because the line can get long. Just give them your Kaiser card number and boom, you stay in the car. You drive through this little tent. Nurse comes to you. It takes 2 seconds.
Okay. What time in the afternoon are we looking at?
After all the work people leave. So I think anytime after 10:30, it'll sort of smooth out.
Okay. All right. I will have to definitely look at that.
Yep.
So there's your pro tip.
Yes, that was my pro tip. Drive through flu
super
shot.
Early in the morning. Like, how early are we looking at? Like six in the morning?
Yeah, six, because that's when they open. I wouldn't want to be in that line because you get the commuters who go there. I tried to do that one morning and I showed up there at 7 and there was already a line of 45 cars.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I was like, fuck this. I'll come back.
So afternoon, you said after 10:30 though, that's morning still.
Mid morning. Any, if you can do any time after that 10:30, I think it'll be smoother sailing than trying to get into that morning slot.
Okay. So thank you for staying tuned during one of our surviving quarantine episodes.
Yes.
I'm Carly Knight.
And I'm Sabrina Monet.
And this has been Procrastination Planet.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And delivery showed up just on time.
Yes.
All right. Go get your takeout.
Thanks so much. You take care. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
Procrastination Planet has been written and produced by me, Carly Knight. Our logo is designed by C. Trojan of C. Trojan Art. Our theme music is Laser Unicorns by Christian Penn. courtesy of Jamendo Licensing. Check us out at procrastinationplanet.com. Over there, you can catch links to our bonus content for every episode, as well as links to our Patreon and our Teespring pages. All other sound at Procrastination Planet is courtesy of Charlie and Holly, our official podcast puppies. Don't forget to drop us an email at procrastinationplanetpod@gmail.com. Let us know how we're doing.